Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Soul Pride style call and response riff blueprint in Ableton Live 12, with that jungle and old school DNB energy, but designed to stay DJ friendly and mixable. So this is not about making some giant overblown cinematic drop. We're keeping it tight, musical, and loop based. The goal is a riff that feels alive, with a clear question and answer, space for the breakbeat to breathe, and enough movement to work in an intro, a breakdown, a drop, or a mix out. We're also going to think a little like a mastering engineer while we build it, so the loop feels clean, punchy, and finished without smashing the groove flat. If you've ever heard those soulful jungle phrases where the chords seem to bounce off the drums, that's the vibe we're chasing. Warm harmony, chopped motifs, little bass answers, and just enough delay and automation to make the whole thing move. First thing, set your session up properly. Put the tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. That's a really comfortable zone for jungle and old school DNB. Keep it in 4/4. And if you're working with samples, use Beats Warp Mode for drum material and Complex or Complex Pro for musical loops if needed. For the first draft, I want you thinking in 8 bars. You can absolutely write a great 4-bar hook, but 8 bars gives you room to build the conversation between the call and the response. It gives the drums more breathing room, and it makes the loop easier to arrange into a proper tune later. Set up your tracks like this. One track for your breakbeat drums or drum rack, one for top loops or percussion, one for sub-bass, one for a mid-bass layer if you want it, one for the call keys or chords, one for the response stab or hook, one for FX and atmospheres, and then your return tracks for delay and reverb. Now, before you write any riff, build the drum foundation. In jungle and old school DNB, the riff has to sit on top of a drum bed that already feels like it's moving. If the drums aren't convincing, the phrase won't feel like DNB no matter how good the notes are. You can go the classic route with a chopped break, like an Amen style or Think style break, or something gritty and warped cleanly. Slice it manually or with transient slicing in Simpler or Drum Rack. Then process it lightly but confidently. Use EQ to cut low rumble below around 30 to 35 Hz. Maybe dip a bit in the muddy low mid area if it gets cloudy. Then add some drum bus for weight, a touch of saturator for grit, and a glue compressor to gently glue it together. You don't want to flatten it, you want it to punch and breathe. If you want a more controlled setup, layer a gritty break with a clean kick, a snappy snare, and maybe the hat loop for motion. That hybrid approach can be easier to shape in Ableton, while still sounding old school. And here's a big teacher note, don't make the groove too perfect. Jungle loves a little imperfection. Nudge some ghost hits slightly off grid, vary the velocities on the hats, and let the break speak around the snare. That backbeat is your anchor. If the snare feels weak, the whole phrase loses attitude. Next, let's design the bass relationship. The bass and keys should answer each other rhythmically. That's really the heart of this lesson. Start with a clean sub using operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave, keep the filter minimal or off, and make the amp envelope quick on the attack with a medium release. Keep it mono. You can add a tiny bit of glide if you want some movement, but keep it subtle. For the note choice, stay simple. Root notes are your friend here. D minor, F minor, G minor, those kinds of keys sit nicely in jungle and DNB territory. Don't overcrowd the bass line at first. You want the sub to support the drums, not compete with them. On the sub, use utility to keep it centered, and if needed, add just a touch of saturator so it speaks on smaller speakers. If the kick is fighting the bass, use sidechain compression lightly. The key is control, not obvious pumping. If you want personality, add a mid-bass layer with wavitable or analog. A detuned saw-based Reese works great. You can set two saws slightly out of tune, add a little unison, low pass the top, and automate the filter or wavitable position slightly. Then shape it with auto filter, saturator, maybe a little chorus ensemble, and EQ to keep the low end clear. The important thing is this. Sub is the foundation, mid-bass is the attitude. Keep them separate in your head and in the mix. Now we get into the call phrase. The call should feel like the question. It should be short, hooky, a little unresolved, and leave some room for the response. Don't overthink the melody. Start with rhythm first. Put down 2, 3, maybe 4 notes. Make them punchy. Make the rhythm interesting. Then refine the pitch. A really practical approach is to write a 2-bar motif. For example, in bar 1 you might place a chord stab or melodic fragment on an off beat. Then in bar 2, repeat it with a small variation, maybe a higher note or a slight rhythmic shift. Leave a gap at the end so the listener feels anticipation. Great sound choices for the call include analog for warm stabs, wave eatable for something sharper, or even chopped samples and simpler if you want a more soulful edge. If the sound is too full range, high pass it around 120 to 200 Hz so it stays out of the sub's way. Then compress it lightly, saturate it a little, and use echo and hybrid reverb in a controlled way. Short, tight space works better than a big wash in this style. Now the response phrase. This should actually answer the call, not just repeat it. You can flip the energy by going lower, darker, longer, or more sustained. Or you can make it a little more resolved harmonically. A nice technique is to take the call and move the response down an octave, stretch one note, and let a delay tail carry the end of the phrase. This is where contrast matters. If the call is short and punchy, make the response smoother. If the call is sparse, make the response a bit denser. If the call is bright and open, make the response darker and tighter. That contrast is what makes the section feel conversational instead of repetitive. A really good DJ-friendly 8-bar blueprint goes like this. Bars 1 and 2 are the call. Bars 3 and 4 are the response. Bars 5 and 6 are a variation of the call, and bars 7 and 8 are the response plus a turnaround. That turnaround could be a little delay throw, a small fill, or a reverse cymbal into the loop restart. Now the phrase has shape, and it feels like it can live in a proper arrangement. And this is where the arrangement thinking starts to matter. A DJ-friendly section needs predictable entry and exit points. You want the first 8 or 16 bars relatively clean, and you don't want every element blasting at once. Leave space for the kick, snare, and bass to breathe. Then bring the riff in and out in a way that makes sense for mixing. A really solid structure might be 8 bars of drum intro with filtered riff, then 8 bars of full call and response, then a variation with extra percussion, then a stripped breakdown, then back into the full idea, and finally a mix out where the drums and bass carry the energy while the main hook steps back. That makes it much easier for a DJ to blend in or out of your tune. Automation is what stops the loop from feeling static. Automate the filter cutoff so the sound opens a little on each repeat. Automate delay send amount so the phrase endings get a bit of extra motion. Reduce reverb before a punchy section for impact. Then let it bloom again on the tail. You can even automate stereo width on the mids to make the response feel a little wider than the call. Tiny moves add up fast. Now let's think mastering minded. Since this lesson sits in the mastering area, route your riff elements into a group bus. On that bus, use EQA to clean unnecessary low end from the non-bass sounds and tame any harshness. Then use glue compressor lightly, just enough to catch the phrase together, maybe only 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction. Add a little saturator for density, check mono compatibility with utility, and use a limiter only as a safety net. We want glue, not squashing. Jungle and D-then-B need transients. The snare has to hit. A lot of people make the mistake of overbuilding the riff before the groove is solid. Don't do that. Build from the loop outward. If the basic 4-bar or 8-bar idea bangs, then you can arrange it. If it doesn't bang in loop form, adding more layers usually just creates more problems. Another thing to watch is the low mids. Jungle-style chords and stabs can get cloudy around 180 to 400 Hz really quickly. If your loop sounds good solo but dull or muddy with the drums, that's often the first place to clean up. Also check the riff at lower monitor volume. If it disappears when the volume comes down, it might be too dependent on sparkle and width, rather than rhythm and shape. If you want to push the style darker and heavier, keep the harmonic language minor and a little tense. Use flattened notes, little chromatic movements, or a response phrase that drops instead of rising. You can layer the response with a distorted reese, add very subtle overdrive or saturator, and use resonance or metallic effects like corpus sparingly if you want extra tension. Just don't overbrighten the top. In this style, a little roughness in the mids is often better than a hyper-clean polished sound. Here's a really effective phrase trick, phrase displacement. On the second repeat, shift the riff slightly, maybe by a half beat or by removing one note. That subtle move makes the listener feel like the idea has shifted without changing the whole thing. You can also try answer inversion. If the call rises, make the response fall. If the call is short and percussive, make the response longer and smoother. That's what gives it that real call and response personality. One more good trick is the bar 4 turnover. On the last beat of every 4th bar, cut the main stab short, add a tiny pickup note or noise hit, and let a delay tail spill into the next bar. That little reset keeps the loop driving forward. Let's do a simple practice mindset. Set the tempo to 172 BPM. Build one breakbeat drum loop, one operator sub, and one wavetable or analog stab. Write a 2-bar call with just a few notes and some gaps around the snare. Then write a 2-bar response using lower notes, with the last note held a bit longer, and maybe a tiny delay throw just on that last note. Add EQ, saturator, glue compressor, and a little send to echo. Then loop it for 10 minutes and only change 3 things: note rhythm, 1 automation lane, and 1 drum variation. That's how you build Reedle Control. To wrap it up, the main idea here is simple but powerful. Start with the drums. Keep the sub clean and mono. Build the riff from rhythm first. Use call and response to create musical tension. Use automation to keep it alive. And shape the whole thing with light mastering style processing, so it feels like a record, not just a sketch. If you follow this blueprint, you'll have something that sounds soulful, punchy, and ready for a DJ set. It'll be musical without getting crowded, and it'll have that classic jungle bounce that makes people move.